The scripture says that the sons of Issachar were men that understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do. There is a knowledge that we can derive from an understanding of the times. Given that for every purpose of God, there is a stipulated season and time that can bet it. Even in your life, the orchestration of events are on the basis of appropriate times and seasons. The fact that you prayed and cried about something that is not the time for its manifestation, such a thing will not come to pass because you prayed and cried. The purposes of God find expression on the basis of stipulated ordained times, which is a function of the exercise of the sovereignty of God. So the Bible says that the sons of Issachar, they were able to peep into the spirit and discern what the season holds, so that they can sound an alarm to the people of God as to the next line of strategic action that is required. Amen. It is such understanding of times and seasons of which the Bible reveals that if there is no vision of such, then the people will perish. Pick your Bible as we look at a few things before we pray. We're still praying, okay? So we're in Isaiah chapter 5 now. We're still praying. Hallelujah. So in the prayer we began on Monday, was it Monday? I guess Tuesday, I don't know. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11, the Bible says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol, the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp and he that rejoiced descended into it." Now, there are a few indicators I want to draw our attention to quickly so that we can see the message that is hidden in all these metaphors. Amen. Now, first, I want to draw your attention quickly. The lamentation began as if a curse was laid upon such as took solace in drawing from the power of wine. Now, you begin to wonder why God will be speaking to his people and then he's saying, "Woe unto him that is given unto wine." You say, okay, he's talking about unbelievers. Secondly, he now begins to say that there were a few number of musical instruments that are part of their feast. The tabret, the pipe, the harp, and the viol. Then he now went further to say, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." So that means that the metaphors that were given afore actually are illustrative of the state of God's people. If not, the fact that an unbeliever goes to soak himself with wine should have nothing to do directly with me. So the prophet was using parables to communicate a condition that is the state of the church at a particular time. Now notice, wine dulls our senses. Wine makes a man not to discern accurately. Wine can impart an emotion that is false. And then when you mix the illusion of the power of wine with music, it makes a man drowsy. He's talking about a state of utter confusion that is occasioned by conscious deception. Meanwhile, in this state of limbo, some serious things were happening behind the scene. The first of which was that the Bible reveals that in this state, it is impossible to discern the work of the Lord. It is impossible to discern the operation of His hand. Now, on the account of this ignorance, there is captivity widespread. There is thirst and famine. But hell too was able to cash in on the situation to enlarge what? Her mouth. Now, when you see that death, the spirit of death, has been released into a particular territory, in order for that to happen, the devil must have sent a music and a wine to make the people of God distracted. You know, when you go around town, you realize that the civil servants have not been paid for a while. And there is a music that is in the town now. A music of poverty, a music of lack. And everybody has given himself to such music. And there's a major distraction. It's at those seasons where the viol is playing. And the devil has been able to get the attention of people to be directed at a particular tune. That he cashes in on such a circumstance to establish and to facilitate a program in his agenda. A program that he would have not successfully executed if people were on the alert, watching their guard. He uses a distraction to get the better part of us so that he can advance an intention, a strategy that will bring chaos into the territory. So let us see the real things that are happening beyond the wine and beyond the music. Are you still with me in the Bible study? I'm just trying to raise a prayer point. Now, do you notice that in verse 13 there is a therefore there? And in verse 14 there is what? Therefore. What's the meaning of therefore? Therefore means because of this. So let us see the resultant effect of the wine and the music. Now, if we had time, which we is a commodity that is so expensive these days, would have taken that instrument called the pipe. What does it mean? Pipe. You know, we have what? Harp there. Oh my God. You are not with me. Oh. Okay, let me stop. We'll pray. You will notice that when Nebuchadnezzar's image was erected, there was a particular music that was sung before people were commanded to bow down to it. What instrument did they use? It was what? I don't want to go into that. But, amen. Now, let's go back. Just, you know, if you notice, you see two therefores there. Therefore, number one, that is the resultant effect. This is the resultant effect of the whole confusion. And the resultant effect is definite, is concrete. It's not maybe, it is definite, it is concrete. It is direct. Alright, let's see verse 13. What are the resultant effects? First of all, there's captivity. And this captivity is as a result of lack of knowledge of the real things that is going on. The honorable men are famished. Multitude dried up with thirst. Another therefore is coming. Hell has enlarged herself, opened her mouth without measure. And if you notice, check the category of people that were victims of this enlargement, you will see that there is no form of segregation. The multitudes were affected, even the vulnerable people, and them that had pomp and pageantry, they descended into it. Because if by virtue of any form of laxity, that event has taken place such that hell has gained an advantage, the resultant effect is not emotional. We are going to pray. There's something we need to extinguish now, and it's an emergency. Now, if we don't succeed this week, by next week, the number of funerals that will take place in this state will be worthy of note. Listen to me. No, some of you are hearing me, it's like a parable. If nothing definite happens in our prayer today, by next week, the number of funerals that will be conducted will be worthy of note. That's why the sons of Issachar, their role, given that God has given them the grace to understand the times, is to tell Israel what she must do. Let us pray. Now we want to reject that which is coming into the territory, it's seeking to form itself. It's a mist. It's a cloud of darkness released into the land for works of treachery to be effected upon the sons of men. There is an advantage that the devil seeks to gain by the destruction that he has advanced. Today we want to deny him that advantage by insisting that mouth that is beginning to open itself, let that mouth be shut. Let that vocal cord be cut off. Let that tongue be slashed. I'd like us to pray today. The God of redemption, the Father of glory, the governor among the nations, the God of all flesh, and the Father of all spirits, we want to invoke his might and invoke his name and invoke his temper concerning this land and this city, that the beasts that have been released into it will be stopped. Oh, mercy, Kamaraka, Belokuria, Sabotam Baraski, Praskapotam, and Halama. Put a table, Baski Manahaya. Maracas,
We call on the Lord's name. We call on His excellency, His majesty, His power. We invoke His power concerning our city, concerning our land. That all God that we seek to enlarge itself, let it be short in the name of Jesus. We call upon your might and your great power. Let the peace be restrained. Let peace be restored. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now ask the Lord to bless your ears and your heart, so that as the word of God opens, let the Holy Ghost open your heart also, that through the time of the teaching of the word of God, you will be brought into alignment with the very emphasis of heaven for your life. It will go beyond the words of a preacher, and you will be able to find and isolate and discern the voice of God. That God will sow a viable seed upon your heart, and that seed will not die. Great one, this is such a time as we need your counsel. We're in dire need of your utterance, your great words that break the rocks in pieces, your great words that make wise the simple. We ask, O God, that you guide us with your great lamp, bring illumination upon our feet, that our paths might be enlightened, that we might see clearly the strategic path that you have designed for your people in their exodus. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, you say, with singing unto Zion. The battles will not overwhelm them. The battles will not spoil them. Show us the pathway for navigation, that we may know where to set our feet, just like Moses did in the belly of the Red Sea. He found a path to walk upon, and the entire clan was saved by a great hand of redemption. We seek short intervention in our lives today. We ask, O God, that your word be explicit. Let the book be open, and let our hearts be open as we seek alignment with you. This is the word and the voice of our prayer and our petition. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This is a prayer meeting. We will just set in motion the emphasis that we have picked in the spirit, and then we'll trust God for grace to be able to pray through. Hallelujah. As we begin to gain ground, as we begin to pray, heaven will begin to open. Then we'll be able to understand the strategy of God that He has ordained for this season. Now, if you are such a Christian at this time that has not yet covenanted with God for a walk with Him, a walk with Him that will cost you acquaintance with Him to be on the rise,
then you woke up on the wrong side. Because the tempest of darkness, the scourge of hell, seeks to devour without mercy. And only such that have a covenant with God can actually save the day. We pray that God will give us an articulate insight into the body of this moment. Revelation chapter 13, as we journey in the scriptures. You are welcome. Welcome. Hallelujah. Do not be confused. In this season, God will be promoting those among his people that have been consistent in his service. Now, when we say somebody is promoted in the kingdom, it is not that he stumbles upon bags of money. Is that he's given more grace to be more effective and more resourceful in the service of his king. That grace becomes the basis of the new level of influence that is apportioned to him. Hallelujah. Promotion. Now, so I'm trying to explain what promotion means, because our perspective of promotion is affected by motivational preaching. Hallelujah. For instance, while I went to serve in the city of Kano, a few of us were praying under a tree. We're praying for 4 hours, 5 hours, for 6 hours. And we're doing that every day. And the prayer was not sufficient, so we added fasting. And we did that prayer for 8 months. It was still just a few of us praying, fasting, and calling upon the name of the Lord for like 8 months. Are you still with me? Now, after 8 months, we were promoted. And just like I said, promotion does not mean that you stumble upon bags of money. Promotion means that there is an allotment of a higher measure of grace, and the implication of being in custody of a higher measure of grace is that your sphere of influence increases. You know, it was the same anointing that was upon Elijah that was upon Elisha, but there was a higher measure of that same anointing upon Elijah. That's what promotion means. His scope and sphere of influence is heightened on the account of the concentration of the grace of God. Are you with me? Now, so while we're praying, in the 8 months, there was promotion. Whereas when we started the prayer under the tree, people felt we're mad. And when they pass by, they just look at us as crazy guys. Because when the heat of the Kano sun came up, the leaves we were hiding under for shade, most of the leaves fell off. Hallelujah. So when they see us under the tree, at that time when there were no leaves to cover us, then I say, oh, these ones have, there's a burden with them. Hallelujah. But after 8 months, their perception of what we were doing changed. We didn't know that it took 8 months for God, through what we were doing, for his influence, his presence, to be released in such a way that he locked on the hearts of people that watched us and began to convict them to join us. But we didn't know that. We were just... Then after 8 months, people became bold and they started coming under the tree without shade. And then when they come and we are praying like that, praying, and I notice one is not filled with the Holy Ghost, I touch that person. And the Holy Ghost begins to flow. Now a time came when the space under the tree was no longer sufficient. It was the same grace operating But it was a higher measure of that grace. And the implication of that measure is that it creates what? Influence. Are you with me? Now, through that influence, a car can come. Are you with me? Through that influence, a Jeep can come. But you see, that promotion is not the Jeep. The promotion is what? The grace, the measure of grace that was added. Now, influence has potential through which material and financial things can navigate. But we need to understand what blessing really is. The Jeep might be the result of a blessing, but it is not a blessing. It's a spiritual substance that constitutes a blessing. Just like a curse is a spiritual substance, a vehicle of supernatural power. So because of the widespread nature of the motivational doctrine and gospel, we need to define everything we preach so that people we communicate with will not confuse it for something else. So I am prophesying and I'm saying that let no man be confused that in this season God has orchestrated divine promotions. You will see it happen. Maybe the manifestation will be more vivid, will be so clear that you don't need an amen to support it. The manifestation of what I speak about will take 8 months to manifest. And the devil is aware that there is this allotment for an increase in the measure of grace that is upon some definite people that have kept their post in faithfulness. And so he has orchestrated a distraction. There's a distraction within this territory. And the purpose of the distraction is to ensure that we become novices about the work of his hand. We are ignorant about what the hand of God is doing. Because it's very easy for people to interpret their Christian life from their circumstances. Those are two different things. What is moving in your circumstance is different from what God is doing. And so if you have become so conscious of what is happening around you and you are devoid of knowledge of what God is doing, you are already deceived. The lines of actions that you are going to advance at that point is not according to knowledge. And the result of that is captivity. If you are still with me, say amen. The result of that is what? Captivity. My people have gone into captivity because of what? Not knowledge of anything or everything or rocket science. It's knowledge of what the hand of God is doing. There is nothing that arms you more in situations of trials and temptations much more than you knowing what God is doing in my own life. That is what takes you higher and above the circumstances and the situation. You are able to endure it. It doesn't mean so much to you. It cannot gain so much authority that it has the capacity to control your life. And so there's an orchestration from the kingdom of darkness to effect destruction. So that the people that God has marked out and ordained for promotion will eventually lose it. It's on the strength of this that I feel burdened to sound an alarm. Hallelujah. What the politicians are doing have no bearing on the destiny of this land. Now, you may know about what is happening in the political circles. It means you are interpreting things based on the movement that you see with your physical senses. You are not one of the wise men. The most strategic seasons for a people are the time where the devil boasts most. Joel chapter 2, the Bible says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, it's nigh at hand. That day of the Lord that everybody must be alerted to is a day that began with darkness and gloominess. It was the devil that was in charge in the natural scheme of things. He had his men in places. He had his men in authority. They were boasting in the media. But that was the day that God had waited for his sovereignty and authority to be manifested with a skill that a human mind cannot fathom. It was in the midst of that darkness. Nobody knew that behind the scene God was recruiting an army. It was when the first rays of sunlight came to shred the cover of darkness over the land that they now discovered an army, a people, and a strong. Now, how do you interpret your life? Is it according to the movements of what the devil is doing? Or you know the position of God concerning you? There is widespread infirmity and faithlessness has gripped the heart of the people of God. So we need to ask ourselves fundamental questions. Because if a believer cannot trust his God, he has no God. Now let's forget about the mouth talk and the cliche. The average believer in this territory is so defeated. He doesn't even, there's no security in his heart in his relationship with God. And it's just because of the manipulations that are happening. So if you want to get the people in Benue State down, just make sure that salaries are not paid. You'll find out that 76% of Christians are Christians that are conditional. If salary is good, their Christianity is wonderful. But when contradiction begins to hit the terrain, hallelujah. I know you don't like this kind of a talk. I speak like this because I know that one of the states that will produce Christians that will form the last line of defense for Christianity in this day and time is Benue State. Because I'm coming from Lagos, where you feel that Christianity is on its highest frequency. The truth of the matter is that our heritage in that land is lost. We dance to the instrumentation of the harp, the pipe and the vial, and we have despised the work of God's hand. So that's where I walk, okay? So when I come back home, I need to warn, because I've seen there is a wind coming. That wind that was able to manipulate Christianity in Lagos, the greatest men of God have been domiciled in that territory, but it was not able to resist the power of the wind that penetrated. When you wake up in Lagos, you just see people entering bus. They are moving. You don't know what. They are just moving. Everybody's. Then I realize the Holy Ghost quickened it to me that you are in a forest. Many of them don't know where they are going. They depend on us, our prayer. They depend on our faithfulness with God to remain in balance right now. And then this is what we are. When there's a little financial shake in the territory, we are off balance. If hell can open its mouth wide here, then after the elections 2015, there will be no wisdom by which to strike any balance in this country. We are the last line of defense. And when we stand here, we are not speaking to babes. Just in case you were raised by motivational preaching, don't come tomorrow. We are not looking for you. We are looking for people that are sworn to God in spirit and soul to see that his kingdom is established at this point in time. And God has chosen that in this season, he is going to promote his people, the ones that have been faithful in his service. Because of that, the devil has been allowed the opportunity to orchestrate distraction to see how many people will be affected. May you be standing after this storm. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's go back to Revelation. It's my sincere intention to communicate the burden that has been looming in my heart for a while now, that I've not had the opportunity to dispense among us. And we'll see how far we can go. Hallelujah. All right, Revelation 13, verse number 11. Revelation 13, verse number 11. These are strange times. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now, if any of the children teachers are here, quietly, those our children, they are excited. The frequency they are operating on now is not inspired by God. Now, so guide them quietly to their chambers. The Lord will accept their melody there out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. He has a way of understanding what they are saying. Amen. Now, John, he was taken in a vision. And the vision that he was taken, according to the book of Revelation chapter 13, he saw two beasts with uniquely different features. My emphasis is the second beast that John saw. Now this beast looks churchy. The Bible says he has two horns like a lamb. Now of all shapes and structures that this beast had the liberty to choose, he decided to look like what? A lamb. Because this one has an agenda of deception in mind. Alright? The other one looked so beastly with all kinds of horns in the most impossible places. And I don't want to go into that now. You know, actually, prophecy is type and shadow. It's most of these things are metaphors. Alright? Because the horn symbolizes something. The head of the beast symbolizes something. The color of the beast symbolizes something. The place where the beast rose from. One of the beasts rose in the sea. The place where it rose from is symbolic of something. I don't want to go into prophetical teaching and all of that. That's not why. I'm trying to bring an emphasis. This one looks like what? A lamb with two horns. Let's go on and look at it critically. It was only when he uttered his voice, because John was already taken, was the appearance was so churchy. John wanted to worship. But it was when he uttered his voice that John knew it was actually a dragon in sheep's clothing. The utterance could not be mistaken for the utterance of the lamb. John, being one who had been the friend of Christ, he had been that apostle that was so intimate with Jesus that he had the privilege to ask Jesus some private questions. And that's why the book of John is mystical. That's why the platform of the revelation of John is the life of God in manifestation. And on the strength of that life, there were 18 characteristics of that life manifested through the life of Jesus that is captured within the panoramic view of the book of John. His book is critical. His book reveals a template of a journey that God advances his people in keeping with the maturity of that life form that we receive by faith. 18 stopovers that are quite distinct of any man in the life journey
with Jesus, revealed in the book of John. It's a critical book. Now, this is the same John speaking. He had time, a very robust fellowship with the voice of God. And so even though he was confused, he was deceived when he saw the appearance of the dragon. His utterance could not deceive him because of the rich fellowship he has had with what? With the voice of God. So discernment was his heritage on that account. Are you with me? So if the way you can know this kind of beast is not his appearance, just check what it is uttering. If you can get his utterance right, and if you have had a robust fellowship with the mind of God, you'll be able to discern what is talking. What is talking is not a lamb that is talking. What is talking is what? It's a dragon. I don't know how many of us are conversant with the events happening in our time. For instance, let me give you an idea. Before we now go into the journey. The journey, I don't know how many days, but we'll take as much as we can take. It's a diet all by itself. For those of us that are scientists, I want to... At least we have a lot of them here. We have, just like we have an electron microscope that can view stuff that are so minute. We have horoscopes. I mean, mega horoscopes. We have just three of them in this world. Telescopes. Just three of them of that capacity in this world. One is in the United States, as you know. One is in Britain, as you know. For astrological studies, because there's something about the galaxies that the scientists discovered, that the galaxies keep reproducing. So that utterance that God said, let there be, that utterance is still speaking. So they need to be updating their notes and all of that about the galaxies. It's a very complex line of physics. You see, that's not all. One of the most powerful telescopes is operated by the Roman Catholic Church. Now, don't laugh, stop that. Now, what? According to them, they are waiting for Jesus to come. Okay, so a priest is assigned, that's his post, and he views the lines and the linings of the galaxies, expecting his arrival. Because the scripture says, Jesus himself said, I'm going to come back the same way I left. The difference between the ascension of Jesus and the rapture of Elijah, or the translation of Enoch. Are you still in the Bible class? All right. Now, Elijah could not determine when his flight came. Because it was a whirlwind that was sent from heaven that took him. It was not on the account of his own fate. I want to go now. No. He had to wait. That's why he told his disciple, when you see, if by any means you see me, when I'm taking, I'm not in charge of the vehicle. But I am aware of a movement. And if you can by any means see me when I'm taken, what you ask will be given. Because I don't need what you're asking for where I'm going. Alright? It was not of his own making. But Jesus ascended by his own free will. He activated the ascension program. And he said what? The same way I'm going now is the same way I'll come back. So the Roman Catholic Church has a telescope observing the lining of the sky for his coming, so that they'll be the first to peek that there's movement. Hallelujah. Now, after 2,900 and something years of observing, a strange declaration came out that we have been waiting for the coming of Jesus for this long. This year is the last year of our waiting. If he doesn't show up this time, we will no longer be expecting him. Now, that's an utterance. Are you with me? You are not here. That's a strange utterance that needs to be investigated. Even if the one uttering it looks like a lamb. Scriptures recommend that such utterances should be investigated in the light of the truth of the Word of God. That's just an example. Then another utterance came forth. I have not started the study. I'm just giving you examples of utterances. Alright? Another utterance came forth that, oh! Homosexual people and gay people have something to contribute to the church. Something to give. And so our stringent perception of their personality should be corrected. If you are offended, I have no apology for you actually. When John saw the beast appear, he submitted. The appearance was wonderful. But it was when he uttered his voice that he knew this is not a lamb talking. This is the voice of what? I think I need to tell you about my calling. I'm a teacher of truth and verity. If I live in sin, I can't preach here. The pastors working with me, I will report myself to them and sit down until they feel that I'll be restored by God. Then they'll put me back. Are you with me? If I'm living in sin, I can't stand it. Because I'm a teacher of truth and verity. That's my calling. I'm a gatekeeper to ensure that the people that have ears to hear will hear that which is accurate. Now, so there's an utterance that came. And the utterance suggested that homosexuals and gays have something to contribute to the church. And so our perception of them has to change. Then the one that came a few weeks ago is that all religions are what? Huh? No. All religions are lead to God. All religions lead to God. Now, all of this is a grand manifestation of a strange occult that has been put in place many years ago, which has these few tenets. One of the issues of division among peoples is their faith. So we need to establish ecumenism, which is to bring all the positives in each faith together, so that we'll see our similarities and not our differences. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, it's our differences that determine what exactly we are leaning on. For instance, I believe that Jesus is God. Someone else believes Jesus is a prophet. We can't reconcile that ground. It's a stumbling block for us. And unless we reconcile that position, we are different. Our worship is different. The entity we subscribe to is different. Somebody believes that in working with his God, he can kill in the name of his God. I have a problem with that. Because even when my own God instructed a man to kill his son, what he wanted to achieve was that the man should let go that boy from his heart. And the split seconds between the letting go and the action, he says, stop, because I don't kill. And so we are going to have a problem with that. Are you with me now? It's an indication that we do not subscribe to the same principle. So, one of the tenets of that grand plan of deception is to merge faiths in the light of similarities. And if the devil wants to utter his voice, he needs an institution that is recognized in the world to facilitate such utterance so that it will have widespread acceptance. It's indicative of the fact that everybody must draw the line of his faith and his relationship with God right now. Because these utterances are just preludes of mighty things to begin to come into the earth. And if we are not yet ready to fight the battle of truth, deception is going to sweep us deep, such that we will bow down to something that Apostle Paul will deny that is not God. Are you with me? Such is that which is coming out of hell in this time, and such is the burden of all them that call upon the name of Jesus. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now, let us build on that. Those were just examples that I gave. And if you are offended, I have no apology for that. Revelation chapter 13. So we are trying to investigate what I call the voice or the utterance of the dragon. Can we use some tools, some biblical tools, to run an investigative program? So that we can understand, because in Revelation chapter 13, we were not told what the dragon uttered. That's the problem. It's only John that heard it, and his account of his experience was that it was the utterance of what? But we were not given the privilege to partake of what was really uttered. So we need to consult a few more scriptures to see if some scriptures will lend us the opportunity to come into the very utterance of this dragon, of which we need to pay close attention. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now, so it's a day that the spirits of darkness have decided to flood the entire land with deception. Now, many people are beginning to adjust their philosophies, because a questionnaire was administered on, was it on Facebook, or a questionnaire was administered to all Christians in the world, and the response was across the board from many nations of the earth. Hallelujah. The first question was, do you believe that Jesus was born by a virgin? Then this is Christians now clicking. You understand? What's your opinion? Yes, no. Yes, no. So at the end of the day, when the time is expired, they will now analyze the data. 76% of people that participated in the poll do not believe that Jesus was born by a virgin. No. It's just statistics, okay? Hallelujah. Okay, from the way you sounded, we won't go on with the results of the poll. I think we need to hold on to the results of the poll, because there's a challenge there. It's a day of mass deception, and the dragon has decided to utter his voice through every platform that the world respects. So John said he beheld it, and it was the voice of a dragon. Now come with me to Matthew chapter 16 quickly. So I had to run an inventory in scriptures to find out a few things that Jesus himself instructed that we should take heed about.
All right?
Okay.
In Matthew chapter, where? 16 verse what? Verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith. Now, we have to take very critically the utterances of Jesus. O ye of what? Little faith. Why reason ye among yourselves because ye have bought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I speak not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So his emphasis and the purpose of his warning was to draw their attention to the doctrine of the Pharisees. Notice that the Pharisees were religious people, respected in society, custodians of revelatory powers, 2 horns like a lamb. Are you still following? Now, if anybody wanted to check where the mind of God was according to the ancient text, the Pharisees and Sadducees should be consulted, because that's their platform. And then suddenly Jesus wakes up and Jesus said, beware of the leaving of what? Of the Pharisees. Then that's a problem. It means that somebody is taking advantage of the influence that the Pharisees and the Sadducees have through their ministry, has formulated a doctrine and is teaching the people. So the people submit to the Pharisees knowing that they are Pharisees. But the utterance that they are giving off is not the utterance they are supposed to be giving off. But people submit to them because of 2 horns like a lamb. And so Jesus was drawing their attention to the fact that don't just take these things because the people that uttered them are what? Are Pharisees. Beware of their living. There's a living that they have added to the bread. Now, what exactly is the function of living? Those of us that bake, do they still bake these days? You know, those days at home, we used to do some baking and put some leaven, and then you hide it in a very dark place. Then tomorrow it has swollen up. Now, when you take a little error inside of you, in the next 5 years, that error is going to shape you in so much that you will doubt the things you believed when you gave your life to Christ. That's the power of error. And the devil wants to fight from the landscape of deception. And in the day where the battle for truth is in the center stage, the strongest weapon is deception. When the dragon begins to utter his voice, the presence of that utterance is intended to deaden every form of deciphering and every form of discernment. That's what the devil wants to achieve. It's very difficult to win a battle against Christians when they are awake and aware. So you need to give them some drug. Make them to be dull spiritually. Then you can have your free passage. In fact, they will welcome you to take over territories that they have been called to man, because the leaven of deception has filtered through. Now, in the book of Matthew, which is going to be the text that we are going to use for our exposition, and notice that I said this is a prayer meeting. The reason why it's a prayer meeting is because the level of deception is so heightened right now. Oh, you cannot see it. Okay, before we move further, I think I need to use another scripture.
And maybe we need to go to Revelation chapter 17 before we come back this way. I hope you will not be lost. Please don't be lost, okay?
Alright.
Now let me show you how spirits operate. Have you read your Bible before? You saw principalities, you saw powers, you saw the rulers of the darkness of this world, you saw spiritual wickedness in high places. So the example of the spiritual entity that I want to raise now is what we call the spiritual wickedness. Are you with me? Although we'll spend some more time when we talk about spiritual warfare, I'm going to really emphasize those categories. Are you with me? Now, with respect to ranking, are you with me? I said, with respect to ranking, intelligence, and influence, the strongest among all those I mentioned is the spiritual wickedness in high places. In Bible study, you are going to see that. Maybe it's not clear now, but we are going to do that work. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 17 quickly. Now, Lord, we ask that you give us understanding. In Jesus' name. Alright. From this point, I will no longer explain too much so that I can cover the issues that we want to raise. God will quicken you to follow. Now, there were political situations on ground and things that were emerging. Kings were rising. Strange things were happening in the time of Apostle John. And God wanted to give him accurate insight of the things that were happening in his day and time. And God had to subject him to a particular treatment. Come with me. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talk with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great white whore that seated upon many waters, whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a red scarlet colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, let's stop there for now. Now, God wanted his prophet to have an understanding of what was happening in the territory. How did he achieve it? He had to take John far into the spirit to see that who was responsible for what was happening around him. Are you still with me? You see, notice that this spirit was called a mystery. And that is to say that it is only by revelation that you can understand this spirit. You cannot learn about it. You cannot be taught about it. You can only be handed out revelation about it. You know, the Bible speaking concerning God, the Bible called God, calls God a mystery. In fact, and then the Bible also speaks about what we call the fellowship of the mystery. He also speaks about what we call the knowledge of the mystery. You know, God is a mystery. It's when you fellowship with God as a mystery that the knowledge of the mystery precipitates out of the fellowship of the mystery. You get that? Now, if you cannot exercise your spirit to have intercourse with God, there is no way you can know God. I may get you to attend a seminary, and when you are a graduate from the seminary, I will give you a certificate. You are still not born again. The CRK teacher of my pastor's wife was a Muslim. The Lord give you understanding. So you can do all of that. Some seminary teachers smoke. They'll say, okay, sorry, I want to just take it. All right. Just to take a shot. Now, one guy went to preach in the U.S. and the guy that was supposed to drop him off at his hotel room now said, sorry, I smoke. So he was smoking and gisting with. The Lord give you understanding. Now, you cannot know God intellectually. It must be a fellowship of spirit-to-spirit contact. That's where the knowledge of God is derived. You can do Bible study and teach people Bible study based on the principles of homiletics and message preparation. That is a revelation that is born of the flesh. Revelation of flesh and blood. No, Jesus said to John, he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. That means there are some revelations orchestrated by what? You can use some biblical tools like concordances and all of that to precipitate a line of thought from the scripture. And the spirit agency was not part of the formation. That is within the capacity of flesh and blood. But when you are dealing with a mystery, it is only a revelation that can give you knowledge of a mystery. And so John had to be taken to a very distant place in the realm of the spirit for him to see the reality that was at work, whose influence had saturated his environment upon the face of the earth. Now, should I say something here? You see, many of you don't know your family. Because in order for you to understand what is happening in your family, the Holy Ghost may have to take you far into the spirit. For you to see what is sitting. What you are seeing are just manifestations of a reality. And if our lives and our sense of urgency and emergency emanates from manifestations, it means we are not in alignment at all. It means the devil can create a manifestation. We are not seeing what is responsible, so you'll be attacking symptoms. In order to avoid such a sorry state, God had to take the prophet to the source of the quagmire. Now, this spiritual entity that was noticed. Hey, are you still here?
No.
Oh my. Now, you see, we are just taking off now. Jesus. Now, listen to me. Notice that when he was taken in the spirit, he was taken through the corridor of a wilderness in the spirit. Not Sahara Desert. He was taken where? Alamakode. What is a wilderness? There's a difference between a wilderness and a desert. But wait. That's the description of a spiritual location has been given us here. Kai. No. If you can't understand from here, I'm not talking to you. Listen to me. You know, Paul said that he was caught up into the third heavens. If I come to your house and you say, use the third toilet, the third bathroom, it means we have a first one and we have the second one. And so Paul said, I was caught up into the third heavens, indicative of the fact that we have a second one and a first one. Now, so this place that was likened unto a wilderness, what is it? Is it the third one? Is it the second one? What is the first heaven? What is the second heaven? What is the third heaven? Because if we don't understand it, it will be difficult for us to perceive the words that have been spoken here. I need to quicken us quickly. Why do you think you were created spirit, soul, and body? There are many ways would have been created, you know. But you are created spirit, soul, and body so that you can interface in all of those heavens. Yes. In fact, this is an illustration of the fact. You are an illustration that there are three layers. That heaven has three layers. And that is what is depicted by your triune form. Spirit, soul, and body. This first casement interacts with the first atmosphere, the first reality. Are you with me? Your soul is aligned with the second heavens. Except your soul, your mind is renewed, you will receive more frequencies from the devil than you will receive from God. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. He said, be not what conformed to this world. That's a choice. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there is only one way for transformation revealed in the entire Bible. Transformation of the spirit as it renews your mind. Why is there an emphasis for the renewal of mind? That person who is plaguing us with that ringtone, an utterance will pick you. So it is advisable for you to cast the phone away. Let it not be the burden. You know, the Bible says your hand will cause you to see. Cut it off. If this one now can bring a plague, so ensure that your hand will not cause you to see. Why is it that there's this emphasis that our minds need to be renewed? Because if your mind is not renewed, you cannot discern the voice of the devil. You are in strong compatibility with the devil. The devil will suggest things to you. You will think you are the one talking. You will not be able to decipher between the devil's promptings, the devil's thoughts, and your thoughts, because your mind is not renewed. And there is only one way for that. In fact, it will be difficult for such a person to hold on to his convictions steadfastly, because voices will be speaking to him. He will think he's the one speaking. Doesn't know that the second heaven is aligned with his mental faculty, with his soul, precipitating emotions that are illusions, so that he will give heed and forget the position that is sustained in his spirit by the quickening of the Holy Ghost. And none of us is fed from such temptations, because you are tripartite. You have to gain mastery in all three realms. Jesus procured the mastery in the spirit. You, by an act of choice, will decide to serve God. You will choose it. Oh my. Hallelujah. So a man whose mind is not renewed is aligned with the second heavens, and he can be receiving frequencies from there. His faith will be weak. He will be full of doubt and confusion because of the frequencies coming from that layer. But when renewal of mind begins to take place, he can decipher that this utterance is not from God. I will not yield to it. When you begin to have the experience of the renewal of mind, you are becoming a dangerous person. It means that the second heavens cannot control you. The devil seeks control, mastery, and dominion. And that's the tool he's going to use. And every experience you had before you got born again, maybe you the taste of star, you have perfected that taste. And the smell. If you are blindfolded and the star bottle is open, you can locate it. Hey, should I tell you something? They won't change the smell of star because you gave your life to Christ. In fact, they will add some additives to make the smell more potent. On their anytime you smell it, the second heavens opens into your mind. It will take renewal of mind for you to still hear that smell, but you are not controlled by the voice that accompanies it. The second, you are aligned to that second sphere. You hear it? Do you know what it means to be filled with the Spirit? It means the Spirit of God controls your spirit. He quickens your mind and brings your thoughts into His thoughts. And He has the capacity also to quicken your mortal body to do the will of God. Are you with me? Okay, let's go on. The description of the place that is revealed to us, and meanwhile, of course, the third heavens is where God dwells. And when you give your life to Christ, His control tower, command tower, is domiciled in your spirit. So, you being born again, the devil can't attack your spirit. The battle of your spirit has been fought and won. But the intention of God is that the prosperity that your spirit is enjoying must overflow into your entire universe. That is what the process is all about. 90% of the dealings of God are on your soul. So that your soul will break down in repentance and submit in obedience to that which is flowing out of your recreated human spirit. For several people, it can take 70 years for that to happen. For full alignment to take place. It is when the power that is residing in that your spirit begins to gain dominion of your universe that a man of dominion rises. Dominion can only take place when the content of your spirit has expression. But it will take a lot of dealing for that spirit to dominate your universe enough so that you are an expression of the will and the power of God as is orchestrated by His wisdom through your spirit. It takes time. And the reason for our weakness is because of our alignment in our soul to the second heavens. The description of the place given here in the book of Genesis, Revelation chapter 17, is the second heaven. It's a wilderness. Every time the third heavens was described, there was no pointer to any wilderness in that realm. So when this guy was held up in the spirit and carried by God, the Bible says he was taken through a corridor and the likeness of a place was a wilderness. Now, what is the difference between a wilderness and a desert? Because a wilderness is not necessarily a desert. It's when we went to Israel that my Bible study now became correct. A wilderness has a terrain that makes it difficult for habitation. You know, before you settle somewhere, there must be water, probably good soil that can support crops. Then also, sunlight. There are some basic things that must be in place before life can be supported. And that's why population is likely to be dense in some places and sparse in the other places. So a wilderness doesn't have what it takes to support life. It doesn't mean it's a desert. But it doesn't have all the ingredients to support life, so it is a place that is abandoned. When John was taken in the spirit, his navigational path was through a wilderness. And then in that vast, abandoned mass, he beheld what? A beast. This beast was a beast that was manifesting in his generation. Are you with me? But he had to go far in the spirit to identify that beast. Are you still here with me? Now, let me show you something. The beast, a description of it was given. Seven horns, this and that, heads and all of that. When the interpretation of these things now came, the heads of the beast are actually nations. The horns are leaders. Are you with me? So it means that the beast is the one that is controlling the nations. And the fact that a leader comes and sits upon a throne of leadership, the leader may not be the one that can change the place. The place is likely to change the leader. Because the leader is sitting on a foundation that has its roots where? So the person can actually be a good person before. But when he comes and sits on the structure that have been built by the wisdom of that beast, with its attendant twisted corruption and all that stuff, it's likely that what? The platform changes and shapes the leader so that the program still continues. Such is the power of spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We were checking my son's school books. They claim that the school is British. We have to attend PTA there now. Check it, and then I am gay. Then what was the response? I am gay. Okay, let's be gay. Then what again? What's the response? Something like that. You see, you may not know that. I'm not saying change your children's school. No. There's something, the structures that have been formulated were formulated by a particular wisdom. So if you come and stand on that structure, if you don't know what you are doing, the structure will shape you. Because the structure has its roots somewhere far in the realm. Now, so when the beast begins to operate, the beast must operate through the structures it has established in society. If the beast will speak, it will speak through some structures it has invaded. Oh my God, you are not with me. It will speak and utter its voice through structures it has invaded. The fact that this platform is a Jesus platform is not enough. If the beast invades this place, this platform becomes another platform that speaks for it. So if you don't have the capacity to discern the oppression of that beast through its voice, you are likely to become a preacher of that beast very soon, and your own structure that you have built with prayer will be invaded and manipulated and becomes one of the outlets through which the voice of that spirit finds expression. And that's why John had to be taken to the very place where the spirit was domiciled, so that all his dimensions, his colors, his shades, his tints, his modus operandi can be discerned. And when he comes back on ground, he can trace every manifestation of that reality through the fabric of human life. Did you get it? Oh, you are getting it now. We went for a course in Port Harcourt. The guy that came to lecture us in the course is from the United Kingdom. And then he now started the lecture. I said, who told you that you can resist a young woman? That we are in a technical class talking about oil. The oil industry. How to salvage the oil industry. Understanding the petroleum industry bill, all the gray areas. That's what we are doing. We were serious with time. Jesus. How did he start the lecture? Who told you that you can resist a woman? So I said, where are we? No, my judgment of this place is wrong. Because if this kind of utterance can come here, then we need to shake ground and prepare for the deliverance. Sometimes you attend press conference, you don't know you should be speaking in tongues. Something is talking. He said most of your leaders that were sent to do deals abroad, when they got there, the white men gave them volumes of law, of legal injunctions to study and then sign. And then before they signed it, young women were sent there. So the people signed without reading. That's why you are here. Then he now repeated again. Who told you? Who told you? You can't resist the young woman. Something was giving us lecture. And I had to be deflecting it in prayer. Then when he went too far, I had to challenge him. Guy! I asked him, what is your estimation of the average Nigerian man? So something too was talking. So he knew, this something is talking to me. What I was trying to make him understand, you can't preach here.
You can't preach here.
This place is covered.
You go somewhere else. Look for another platform. Go among maroon people and all tie your voice. But here,
what's your explanation? If you guys were so wise, your own laws had flaws. I showed him 1976 law in the oil industry. Why do you think the man from Scotland doesn't want to be identified with the English people? Because that's the place where the oil is.
When we now started helping him with our own historical perspective, he stopped preaching.
Because this beast is looking for any platform where people come with a view to learn. Your guard is down. So he begins to preach. He begins to utter his words. The beast begins to speak. Hallelujah. There is a beast that is talking. And John saw it. And you know the Bible says that when John saw that beast, the beast actually superseded his estimation. Because when he saw it, the Bible says he wondered. No, if it's an ordinary thing you see, you will not wonder. And I say, with this young. Like in Lagos, it's very easy. People die anyhow. So if somebody dies in Lagos now, you can just see people just carry their bag. It's not a strange sight in Lagos. Say, that guy good though. Ah! Hey, that's Lagos. But this beast is superseded John's average expectation. And I need you to understand that what is working in this day and time is more intelligent than what you thought. Should I say something before I continue? Even though we are running out of time, I have not started. Usman Danfodio, the jihadist that invaded the north. Danfodio's house library was burnt. So Lord Lugard visited him and came and asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Danfodio said, "You can't help me, as you can see. But if you must do something for me, my library got burnt. I've been able to replace all the books in the library that got burnt except one." So Lugard now asked him, "What is the name of the book?" "The book is actually a book for master's mathematics written in Arabic. Now, our estimation of our friends, the mafia in the north, is a bunch of illiterates, Abi. A bunch of greedy people. They are more selfless in their sacrifice to their cause than we are to God. Meanwhile, their grand cadi, what was he doing with a master's mathematics textbook or circle geometry? In order for you to be a skilled astrologer, you must understand circle geometry. He did it to master's level. So through the alignment of the sun, moon, and star, he knew which corridor was weak that he could exploit in battle. You think these people advanced into this corridor just by politics? You have not seen the beast that is working. And the beast ensures that you don't estimate him accurately. Because when John eventually came through in the wilderness and saw the beast, the Bible says he wondered with great admiration. It exceeded his expectation. I came to sound an alarm that we are playing in times of warfare. This is the last line of defense that we have for the rebirth of that which God has spoken about this nation. But with what is going on here, we are not prepared for the fire. I don't know how to sound this alarm enough. Danfodio had master's mathematics textbook in his library in 1804. Now, where was the grandfather of Tidland that time? The chief men around, what were they doing that time? They were only seeing Jatoka, the mountains of Ushongo. That was how far they could see.
Danfodio was singing an Islamic Nigeria, and he was invoking the powers of astrology and wisdom from darkness. He had contact with the second heavens, deploying his power. Today, his armies are invincible. Now, see, the Hausa man is different from the Gambari man. The Gambari man is from Guinea.
Okay, let's not go. What I'm saying is, our estimation of what we are fighting is too low. That's why we can't win.
Let's go back to our Bible study here. Where did we stop? Matthew chapter 23. Okay, Matthew 16. Hallelujah. Jesus said, beware of the living of what? Of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So the Pharisees had their own living. The Sadducees what? Had their own living. How will you beware of what you don't know? You don't have any understanding of what Jesus is saying we should beware of. How can you take precaution when you don't know the danger that is attached to your violation of protocol? May God open your eyes to see how backward we are. How backward in contending for what we intend to contend for. There is a beast that lurks in the second heaven seeking dominion. His structures are everywhere. You know, it's well. Alright. Let's go back to our scripture. So, Jesus said we should beware of the living of what? Of the Pharisees and of what? The Sadducees. So let's try to pick a few of those livings. Matthew chapter 23. There are seven of them which would have taken us 7 days. One per day. But we'll look at one this night, if God will permit us. Matthew 23. Hallelujah. This was the teaching of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And Jesus, the Son of Order, was trying to establish order and perspective and context. And so he showed us the accurate perspective of the kingdom and the way the kingdom views some things that the Pharisees and the Sadducees said. Okay. In verse 13 of Matthew chapter 23, the Bible says, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourself, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Now we need to analyze that scripture very critically. That's the first woe of Jesus. He spoke about the people that shut the gate of the kingdom of heaven. Not the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of heaven. I profiled doctrine in Nigeria. Doctrine. I will tell you the outcome of my profiling. Took many years to do that. I found out where the errors that were preached for many years ago, where it came from. It was one of them is tied to a misunderstanding of the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Now, when we do, we'll do that in a Bible study, but not, it will not be public. Because I have reasons for that. A few people, I will show you. This is because this is not understood. This is what they preached. This is the outcome. And you may not know. Because the Bible says, if our gospel be hid, why is it hidden? It's hidden unto them that are lost. Of whom what? The God of this world has blinded their heart and their minds. It's an operation of those princes to ensure that some things are hidden. So that even though you have light, the light you have is not sufficient to combat darkness. This is such an hour that the devil wants to leverage upon our ignorance and our false estimation of the power of the things at work, so that we don't get to receive sufficient grace for this hour, for this season. Now, can we do a quick study? Maybe we'll go to the book of John chapter 3. Now, please, before you move, wait, don't move here. Don't move. Now, let us pick the indices of this scripture. Where did they shut up? Kingdom of heaven. So write that one down. Kingdom of heaven. Number two. What was the result of their shutting up the kingdom of heaven? Men do not what? Go in. So they shut up the kingdom of heaven so that men do not go in. Meanwhile, they themselves, they know the way to the kingdom of heaven, but they decided by themselves not to go. That one is different. But there are men that really want to connect with God, and they are ignorant of the ways of God. These ones that are awake and aware of how to contact God decided to shut the gates of the kingdom of heaven so that men will never. All right. Let's go now, because of the indices in that scripture. The scripture that opens up to the rescue is the book of John chapter 3, quickly. Our time is spent. When will we pray now? God, help us. John 3, quickly. After that scripture, I will shut up. Then we'll pray. Are you with me in John 3 now? Okay. John 3 raises an emphasis which I want us to take note of quickly. Please, I want to give you a prayer point. Do I have a right to do that? Right. Tell Baba when you pray, let him bring me back to my according. Okay. Now, in the book of John 3, there is a man that is introduced to us. This man, his name is Nicodemus. Is that true? This man is a ruler of the Jews. So it means Nicodemus is a Jew. Nicodemus, his name is what? Nicodemus. And among the Jews, he's what? A ruler. Now, my question is this. How come we had so much time to talk about Nicodemus in the Bible? Meanwhile, the Bible reveals that Jesus did many other things that are not written in the Bible. Because if those things are to be written in the Bible, there will be no space to capture them. But the things that are written so that we will believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And there's enough evidence to establish that in what? The written word of God. Do you get that? That means the Holy Ghost was fighting for space. There was no space to capture the things. But yet we have a man. And the Bible is talking about this man. He can mention his name. Mention the fact that he's a ruler of the Jews. So much emphasis about the man. How come? Hallelujah. Now, so there were various fronts and perspectives with which we could view this man called Nicodemus. We could talk about Nicodemus the Jew, Nicodemus the ruler of the Jews. We can talk about Nicodemus the man. When Jesus stepped upon the scene, after the elaborate description of the man was given, Jesus did not touch Nicodemus, the ruler. He did not touch his title, what he was in society. His only problem with Nicodemus was Nicodemus, the man. See that? His statement to Nicodemus was that except what? A man. Not except a ruler of the Jews. But we have a problem
with your being a man.
Everything about you is established on the foundation of you being man. If you were not a man, you would not have a name, Nicodemus. If you were not a man, you would not be a ruler of the Jews. If you were not a man, you would not be a Jew. So, we are not concerned about what you have constructed on the man. This man now, except this man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hey, you know what he was saying? Nicodemus, you were not born well. So everything you have constructed on yourself as a man is false. You know, somewhere along the line in this discussion, Jesus probed who gave him masters. Somewhere in the discussion, Jesus said, you are a master degree holder in Israel. And you don't know it means your certificate. So there were other things that were now fake because he was not a proper man. The Lord give you understanding. This Nicodemus now was confused because he has said, something as basic as who I am. Okay. What? Are you saying that I was supposed to go back into my mother's womb and be born? Say, no. Your understanding is defective. Even if it were possible to establish that, you still come out flesh. But this is what I'm saying. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I hope you know that before you were born, you had eyes in your mother's womb. When you were fully matured in the womb and you were kicking, that I want to come out. You had eyes, but you could not use your eyes in the womb. You had legs, but your legs were not designed to be used in the womb. But the legs were there all the same. Alright? So you had to be born before you will now see the need to use your eyes. Is that true? Okay. Jesus is saying when you are now born again, your spiritual eyes, which were in the womb, you have never found use for them before. Suddenly, they are activated and you have the capacity to perceive the will of God. You know that God doesn't want you to lie. You lied and you lost your peace because the eyes of perception just opened up because you were now born properly. Are you still following? This man, I thought you would have understood by now. One is that upon your birth in the spirit, you have the capacity and the ability of perception. Is that one taken? Secondly, Jesus said, when you are now born of water and of spirit, you can now what? Enter. You know those Pharisees and Sadducees? They didn't want people to enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh, you are not here. They may not be against your being born again. These Pharisees I'm talking about. Because when you get born again, what is the result of being born again? There's perception. Your spiritual senses are switched on. You can perceive what is going on in the realm of God. But that your state is not entry yet. You see, I said there's a misunderstanding of what the kingdom of God means, what the kingdom of heaven means. That's why you are confused now. Okay, let's do just definition of terms. The kingdom of God is the sphere that God's life dominates and governs. You were born into that sphere by salvation through regeneration. Are you with me? When your spirit came alive, you were now born into that sphere. But that's not all that is required of you. Amen? What is it that they blocked? They blocked the pathway to the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is where God is domiciled. In fact, the kingdom of heaven is where the throne of God operates and regulates. The fact that you give your life to Christ doesn't mean the throne of God regulates you. Because a man can be born again and be living for the devil. He said a sinner prayer, but he's a very corrupt man in the office.
Oh my God, you are not. Jesus, you are not here. Oh Jesus. Now, so that man that got born again is born into the kingdom of God. But when your spiritual senses are perceived, the things coming from the kingdom of heaven. And then you now say, hey, God say I shouldn't lie. I lost my peace when I told that lie. And then you now want to come in alignment with God. That one will be a choice, not salvation. You are already saved. That's why you can perceive. So to be born into the kingdom of God is by regeneration. The effect of which is that your spiritual senses become enlightened. But your entry into the kingdom of heaven is by choice. That you want to serve the will of God. Those are two different things. Now somebody can be born. Oh, okay. Maybe I need to prove that from the Bible. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21 can be a scripture to use to prove that. Notice that. Wait first now. You open too quickly. Calm down. Notice that Jesus said, not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who is he that has said, Lord, Lord? Is it not when you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord that you become born again? Not everybody that is born again takes the initiative and makes the choice to serve the will of God. That's what he said. So these preachers can allow you to be born again. But they will not preach what will reveal that God wants to govern you. They will make you feel that you can go about your normal business, doing your normal life. You have no need of accountability, no responsibility whatsoever. There are bounties on end for you to expand in the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, save me. God has a farm of goods and he just wants you to plug in by faith. If only you believe, all things are. Oh, Jesus. Horrible son. Now, so the guy doesn't feel any sense of responsibility, just shows up. Say, my God, this is sweet, sweet ram. And then he might look upon a very slick damsel and he wants to possess that too. It's possible. All things. Jesus. Now this guy is born again. Because of the perception inside, if he goes to sin, Baba will say, no, I'm not. No, that's not my way. But he doesn't mind because what he is eating has made him believe that there is no need for those dimensions. Jesus paid the price. He did everything. So you just show up. You cannot exhaustively enjoy the bounty that God has for you in his kingdom. Now, so that's his own level of civilization. And he doesn't feel any commitment to God. Meanwhile, if you study your Bible critically, there are many gospels. In fact, there are 10 gospels in the Bible. Gospel means good news. There are 10 layers of good news in the Bible. The first is salvation. There are many more layers. 10 layers. And by the time we get to the book of Revelation, the 10th layer is unveiled. It was angels that proclaimed it. The eternal gospel. Jesus, help us. Now, so that guy has closed the door to these people coming into participation in the kingdom of heaven under the government of God. Because a man that is born again is not too useful to God. It's a man that is consecrated to serve the will of God that is useful to God. When God plans his agenda, he plans with consecrated men, not with born again men. The Bible says the only way you can show that you are reasonable at all after eating the fruit of salvation is that you present your body as a living sacrifice. That nothing can operate me again, only the Holy Ghost. If you have not come to that point, it means you are an unreasonable Christian. And I don't think you will see a madman on the way and you want to do
a building project with him. You want to build a skyscraper, you just go to Urukuma, see that man eating leather. He said, Kai, you are the contractor. So any platform, as far as Jesus is concerned, any platform that shuts the door for active participation of believers in the kingdom of heaven under the government of God, powered from the ten heavens, with accountability and loyalty, even to the extent of suffering persecution for his name. Any platform that advances that kind of Christianity is a platform that has been affected by the sickness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Such a platform utters a voice which is incongruous with the emphasis of the present revelation position of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Because I need you to understand, every promotion or you experience, either sacred or secular, has a level of vanity attached to it. We were four guys. I used to do night vigil those days. They now called two among four of us and ordained them pastors. Because they ordained them, they refused to shake us. Say, level don't change, you know. When we call, say, hey bro, hey. Mama si keke koko koko kene. Rikoko si kakati debo koko koko. You see, it was a vanity attached to that elevation that plagued their soul. And a man that is not sworn to serve only the will of God, we find many things on the pathway to serve in the process. We are built, created to serve. That's our shape, our structure. You can serve many things. Like, you can serve a dancer. Dispatch all your powers, potential, just to ensure. Oh, okay, let me stop. And, see, that's our shape. You can serve stuff. When you now love a thing, you see, your heart is the only organ. It's the organ that has to do with the issues of life that doesn't have a barricade. The heart has rib cage. The lung has rib cage. The skull, the brain has skull. The spinal cord has vertebral column. But keep your heart with all diligence, because it doesn't have any protection. It can just go like and love something, love dancing, and then we have a problem. It's serving the dancing. You can serve anything, I assure you. Especially when you have loved it. And God knows that you have that capacity. But a man that has been consecrated to serve his will has come to that point where he has reached the point of no return. It is you I will serve. Even if you slay me, I will still be here. If I die, I will still be standing. Oh, this is my own covenant with you. That is the kind of man God plans with. That's the kind of man the spirits of this age cannot deceive. Because he has taken his place under the government of God. He will not suffer under the government of man. Hallelujah. If somebody commits fornication here and we discipline the person and suspend the person will live here. You know, because of the gospel we have preached. That gospel relieves men of accountability, submission to the will of God. So you cannot discipline anybody now, because everybody is a star. Meanwhile, the only way we can all find our destiny is that we have corporate fellowship that is operating under the government of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way everyone can find his destiny and function effectively as a body that God can depend upon and possess if he wants to carry out an activity in the land. And so it's possible for the gate of the kingdom of heaven to be shut, but the gate of the kingdom of God is open. And the Bible says this kind of living of the Pharisees will entrench a community of Christians that are not loyal to Jesus. It means they have no king in their lives. They just came into the realm of life, but they have no loyalty to the king that created that realm. And what book is that? Hey, somebody needs to help me with the scripture now. He said, Israel existed many days without effort, without Hosea chapter 3. Thank you. Hosea chapter 3. Turn with me. Now this is the shape, the scriptural illustration of such a believer. And unfortunately, by current statistics, 76% of believers in the Nigerian church are Christians that are not living under the government of God. Oh, okay. Hosea, finally, before we begin to pray.
Hosea 3,
verse 4. Hosea 3, verse 4. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. That's number one. Without a prince, no government on their lives. They are just there. They are kings of themselves. No loyalty to Jesus. He's born again to break through. He's born again to succeed. I will make it this year. I will arrive. Now, he doesn't have any loyalty to God. So if he needs to sell black market fuel to make it, he will make it. If he needs to do anything that violates the principles of God, he will do it because his goal is to make it. That is a man that has been deceived. He has been allowed into the kingdom of God, but he has not been allowed into the kingdom of heaven through doctrine and teaching. So this man can never attain to his highest potential in Christ Jesus because he has not given himself to be shaped by the government of God, by the ruling of God. He is devoid of ranking, he is devoid of stature. And there are many demonic traumas that can offend him. His life is lived at his own expense. And God should not be blamed for his disasters. Now, the Bible says, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, and without a teraphim. How I wish we had time to establish the symptoms of kingless Christianity, which is what is reigning now. Dan came to visit me in Lagos, so I took him out. I said, Pastor D, I'm taking you to the American church in Lagos. Get set. The way you are wearing this trouser, you won't fit there. Just, you need something slick. You need, my God. So that you'll not be different. Okay? Alright. So we now showed up. Wow, wow, wow. Oh, Jesus. The place was full, raw, red carpet reception. The seat is a draw out. Jesus. For about 30 minutes, we were looking for where the speakers were. Hallelujah. Then, we now notice that we're feeling cold. That means there's AC here. There's no AC on ground. Where is the vent? Where the AC is coming from? We're looking for it. This is great. Hallelujah. So we're in the service. And then the preaching was wonderful. It was well articulated. All the tenses, the diction was perfect. The erudite was impeccable. It was without blemish. It was without spot. It came forth. In fact, the dress code, there was a code. You need to see the blend of lemon in the choir. In fact, before the service, it was lemon, they were blends. Jesus, like something issuing out of the other side of heaven, literally. Before the service started, a man came on the organ and played one thing, played just, that one is to relax you. I'm in my father's house now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the sermon came for about 45 minutes, 1 hour, wonderful sermon. But there was no call in that sermon to be committed to Jesus. There was nothing that pointed that you were in bad shape if Jesus was not your king. But I just wanted him to have his own experience. And then maybe when we come out of the service, we'll now discuss. So we now came out. He came out depressed. So I said, what's the problem? Do you know what? In the world, if you attend... these guys that do, what they call them now? No. These ones they don't know what they are doing. Eh? If you attend a rock party, That one that rock party, American rock party. Those gas men. If you attend that party and come out, you have come out after you must have dedicated your life to Satan. There is no free talk these days. The talk must lead you to dedication. It's only in church we have free air condition, free. Nobody's committing anything. Just keep coming. And then after the service, the pastor now say, "Thank you for coming. Thank you. Oh my God." We almost died before we came out. Because you are not under any responsibility. Just have a good time. Hear the good stuff. Oh my God. We'll be here next Sunday. We'll be here. You can count on it. You are in darkness. The Bible says the gate of the kingdom of heaven is shut down. Without king, without prince, without sacrifice, without therapy, without the effort. All the pillars of worship are abandoned. And then we just come to play church. Let me stop there. There is a beast in our land. This beast seeks that men will serve nothing. This beast seeks to make us unprepared for the disaster that the mouth of hell wants to unleash on the territory. So that there will be nobody standing that has sufficient stature to wade darkness backward. I have come to the conclusion that the last line of defense that the body of Christ has is in the middle belt. If we too are fake, then there's no hope for this country. Then let the nation divide and let's go and look for shelter somewhere else. There is a call from heaven. And that call is directed to the middle belt of this nation. That if we don't rise up now with purity of garment, with faces that seek the hand of God, that seek the power of God, that seek the name of God, if we do not rise now, something terrible is about to strike. Because the Pharisees have multiplied their leaven, and their leaven is growing. A generation is evolving out of that leaven. But Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Give me volume. I want us to repent first on the behalf of the church in this country. Say, Jesus, we have left you behind. Listen to me. That's why Jesus sent the questionnaire. Who do men say that I am? It was after the questionnaire came back that Jesus knew that the essence of his ministry was not popular. He was popular, but the essence of his ministry was what? Was not popular. Then he now decided to reduce the range of research. And he now said, who do you say? You guys. The effect of that polling was strange. There was no worthy response for a while. Because at first, Peter did not know if his utterances would be welcome. So he wanted to hear what would come up. And there was silence. In the closest caucus of Jesus' ministry, his divinity could not be discerned. With signs, with wonders, with miracles, with prophecies and utterances, with the raising of the dead, his divinity could not be discerned. That was a bad day. Until Peter came to the rescue. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. That Jesus is the strangest fellow right now. He's not known. And if we carry out the same polling round about town, you may not have any reason from the results for why God will spare us. That day that we look forward to is that day when that Jesus will become popular again. When men will seek his glory, seek his kingdom, and seek his power. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Jesus is no longer popular. Pulpits are no longer raised to advertise his glory and his excellency. I know churches in Lagos where there's no prayer meeting now. Prayer meeting has been replaced for what they call strategy sessions. Strategy. Where you come with suit and an iPad. Hey.
With suits and iPad. Oh my God. Oh my God. She don't. That's your iPad. Eh? As you are coming, just you flash it. The gate of the kingdom of heaven has been closed. There's a beast manipulating anything, any platform that can give him a voice. And our first challenge will be to stop that beast and to identify boldly, publicly, courageously with Jesus. If we cannot do that much, then we are fake ourselves. Then God will have to wipe us out and look for our children. Have mercy. Today, the name of Jesus is a prayer conjunction in a prophetic utterance in church. That's all. Can't you see this beast? The beast overwhelms the expectation of the greater apostle. He will be muffled with admiration. We are sorry for discarding you, for relegating you to the background, for only beckoning on you when there is a storm around our lives, and you have not been worthy enough for our worship and our service. We are sorry. We know that we were raised at such a time as this to be that defense line against the rising tide of deception that has overwhelmed the entire landscape. Many die, many perish, many are wounded. But Lord, look upon our repentance today and raise from among us mighty men. We repent, O God. We repent even tonight that your name and your glory will be before our eyes continually. For the dragon encroached, the beast cometh. We seek to gain stature and ranking with you. We seek to come under the covering of your mighty name. That hand that cannot be stopped, might rise from within us to contend against the flood of darkness. We have been so concerned about our lives, our trouble, our travail, our war, our poverty, that we have been without king and prince and sacrifice. But tonight, we rebuild your altar that is falling in the land. We pick up the 12 stones according to the 12 tribes of Israel. We erect your altar in our families and your name, that it might burn upon it with unquenchable fire. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Let Benway State never go down. Let this land never be run over. Let your banner be raised here, that the nations of the world might come into our borders to find the true God and his name. By your hand, he seeks to establish righteousness, justice, judgment, and equity. We reign in the territory. We stand with you, O God. We proclaim your name and your majesty. Whoa.
unto us. He will come with fire in his eye. So be made up of in for thine is the kingdom, for thine is the power, for thine is the glory. Of the person next to you and begin to pray for that life right now. Lord, that this one will love you with all his heart. This one will not forsake your will. That your hand upon his life will be strong. That your hand upon her life will be strong. Yeah, namo. Jesus has been abandoned. Who do you say that the Son of Man is?
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please, let's take some few prayer points. Do you remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt? And as they were about to enter the promised land, some set of human beings discovered that if they don't do something, this people will eat them up. Because they saw the hand of God upon their lives. And so what they did was that they employed the spirit of deception. The Bible said these men, they clothed themselves in rags. They took bread that was dried up. And they came before Joshua and said, "Sir, we are coming from afar. Please, we want to enter into alignment with you. Pardon us. Spare us." Not knowing that these men were close by, they were neighbors. Tonight, we are going to pray and ask God for a very strong spirit of discernment. Because what is on ground is dangerous. The spirit of deception, this spirit is so subtle that it will come and stay with you. It can be on the dining table with you eating, and you will not know that this is deception until it will release the living upon you. We're going to pray, "Lord, release upon us a strong spirit of discernment, that we will discern and know the deception of the evil one." Can we pray that prayer, please? Unless you discern as John was able to discern this beast, the look was like a lamb, but the voice was that of a dragon. "Lord, with me, the spirit of discernment." For these men were close by, but they came and deceived Joshua, the man of God. The man of God was deceived, and he entered into covenant with them.
Men when they came. And you know the consequences. When King Saul rose up to kill them, you know the consequences. When he killed them, the whole of his family went for it. Our fathers have entered into certain covenants with this spirit of deception, and we are reaping the consequences. Now we're going to pray, "Lord, deliver us from every consequence of deception." Please, it's a serious prayer. Deliver us. What we are experiencing now
is as a result of the deception. What we are experiencing now, that demon is here. We are experiencing that deception. The consequence. The Gibeonites deceived the man of God. After many years, they reap the consequences. Oh God, deliver us. Father, my evil sins are terrible. Deliver our sight from every strong hand of deception. Deliver our sight by emotion, Patalehe. Shibado, my Akade Boy Patalega. Shibala, my Ipatali, my Akada. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Maybe we'll take this one as the last prayer. Remember, the man of God said, our Father here said by word of prophecy that this is a time that God wants to promote men. The promotion is coming. We need to pray. We need to pray for spiritual strength. And he says something. That's the reason for the confusion. That's the reason for the deception. So that the devil wants to bring down men. Men that are supposed to rise. He wants to pull them down. He wants to break them down. When we pray, Lord, grant us spiritual strength. Grant us spiritual strength that we will move forward, that we will do that which we are supposed to do. Lord, grant us spiritual strength. Give us spiritual strength, O God. Strengthen our inner man. Renew our inner man by your spirit, O God. Renew me, Lord. That the flesh will not have dominion over me. That I will be ruled by my senses, O God. Renew me, Lord, my ears shall hear you. Lift up my chest, I come my head above them. Shiva, Lord, come my head, deliver my mama. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now I want to round up, but I hear the Holy Ghost. Listen, there is one more prayer. We must claim the land. Because Psalm 24 says, the earth is of the Lord and the fullness. Benue State is of the Lord and the fullness thereof and all that dwell in it. We must claim back the land tonight. We must pray it. We must pray. The man of God says, if we don't pray well tonight, by next week there will be casualties. We must deliver those casualties. Can somebody ride the name of the Spirit? Then we stand in the Lord and the fullness thereof and all that dwelleth in it. Middle pain of the Lord, the spirit of deception cannot drive here. The evil one cannot drive here. The Lord prevail. Let the gates be opened. Let the doors swing open. That the King of glory might come in. Can somebody
Can somebody pray? Can you utter that voice? Can you pray on? Can you claim the land? Can you claim back the land? Can you claim back the lives? Can you claim back the lives? Maya, my chef, Colibada. Mercy, my hand, Colibada. By the blood of Jesus. The hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord. We do bless the Lord. And the food of the Lord. And all that dwell. By your, by your, by your, by your, by your, by
Now listen to me before we close tonight. We'll continue tomorrow. But let me be plain. The angel of death has been released into Makodi. That's what we are saying. And the only cure for the presence of the angel of death is the Passover. We did a Passover yesterday evening. Today, you want to proclaim a Passover. A Passover. You see, Passovers are family based. Everybody conducts the ritual for his own family. Can you conduct the ritual of Passover right now? And say, nothing will be missing, and nothing will be broken. Nothing will be missing. Nothing will be broken. Nothing will be missing. Nothing will be broken. Nothing, 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 nothing.
Jesus' name.
Listen. There are five people here that the spirit of death has already alighted upon. Five. Can you lift your right hand? Hey! Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Now, this is one of them. There are four more people in this place. The spirit of death has already alighted. Now, God will pick them out so that we can remove it. We can remove it. I was traveling into Makodia and entered North Bank, and my spirit became tense. Jesus. I said, well, how did this happen? My wife called that she wanted to pick me. I said, don't move. Don't move. We are not sure of anything this night. I had to call Philip. That cloud, we banish it in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, the angel is touching me. He's touching. Don't worry. Just this. Oh my God. He's coming. He's coming. There are five people. He will bring them out. Father, help me now. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Father, help me. You know I have no strength right now. But those four people in this crowd. Oh my God. I've seen one. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. From my left hand side. To my right hand side. Those ones, Lord, that have been covered. By death, the spirit of death. Help me locate them. Okay, he's coming to you now. He's coming to you. He's coming to you. He's coming to you. He's coming to you. Holy Ghost, help me locate them. Help me locate them. Help me locate them. Help me locate them. They cannot come to the house of God to die. Stop praying. You can close your eyes so that you will not be distracted. I want to do something. I have just 5 minutes to do it. Close your eyes so that you will not be distracted. But I'm not talking to the ministers. If you are a minister of the gospel, even though you are in the crowd, you can keep your eyes open. Now, Father, there are people in this hall. And these ones in this hall, the spirit of death has alighted upon them. He said I should help them. I can't help them because I don't know them. So you help me right now, I beg you. Let your hand and the hands of the angels that have touched me begin to weigh heavily upon them. Ushers, just be sensitive. I'm looking for four people. Just four people. There are no more than four people in the crowd. Holy Ghost, I trust you to help me. I trust you to help me. I trust you to help me. Please help me. Please help me. Help me. I beg you, help me. I beg you, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. Now, as you are getting them, bring them for me. Help me. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. Now, listen. There's somebody here. You, Father, that one that is here, you led me here. Just locate that one. Don't touch any other person. Just touch that one. Begin to let the heat begin to burn. 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 Holy Ghost. 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 Boom. There are four people I'm looking for. Now, let me see them. Okay, all right. Lord, thank you. Let it be stronger. 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 Stronger. Holy Spirit. Stronger. You don't come to the house of God to die. You don't come to the house of God to die. Now, sister, look at me. Look at my eyes. Keep looking. Don't remove your eyes. Just keep looking. Keep looking. We are messengers of light. We have authority from the Lord Jesus to banish death. That's why keep looking. Just keep looking. Keep looking. Don't remove it. Don't remove it. Don't remove it. It's coming stronger. I want something to come out. Keep looking. Keep looking. Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Keep looking. As she looks, Lord, everything that was laid upon her, let it begin to give way. Keep looking, keep looking, keep looking. Yes, Father. Everything laid upon this one, everything kept upon this one, everything put upon her life, everything. Lord, let it be lifted, let it be lifted, let it be lifted, let it be lifted. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you don't come to the house of God to die. That's why we still need to hold a meeting tomorrow. We must check the spirit out of town. There's something we are missing. Now give me my handkerchief. As for you and your household, by the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel, let the spirit that I be released to torment this land and to bring sorrow, let it lose its authority over your household. Father, we take away that which was laid on them. We take away, oh my God. Siama Gabote. Ile Korea Masika Bakayan Tomina Kale Balikede. Ah, give me water, give me water. Ye kama sole babaria kama sik. That which was laid on you, let it be removed. Now, patients, come. Remove your shoes. Father, I break the yoke of that affliction. I break the yoke. I break that affliction. That affliction that was transferred through witchcraft. I command it to burn off, to burn off. Let it be burnt 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 off. Now, you breathe in 7 times and breathe out. The thing will leave you. Can you lift your hand? Hey, hey, hey. La, ma, 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 ma. Kobokula kabela yelo ikababe dokosi liambara kapata lebo kusabakata. We banish the spirit. We banish the spirit. Eteka kopeta ne makaze na ila bakaya ruka petoski baratula. Don't worry. She will vomit some things. Then she'll be free. Can you touch it? Please touch it. Father. Father.
Death is being rolled in.
Ika
koba na kusaka. Now, I have seen the register of life and death. Alright? I ruled it with my hand. I ruled it. Before I came. We won't bury anybody this year. Yeah. Okay. It has left you. Thank you. I'm seeing somebody that bought a land in a place where there is contention. You bought a land, and there is so many people are claiming that land that you bought because the people in those areas are very strange people, notorious people, stubborn people, and because of that, even you yourself, you have been afraid. Hey, where are you? I'm afraid of that place. You bought a land where there is contention. Lift your hand up. Oh, Maya Moko, it's you. You didn't tell me you bought land. Jesus. Can we pray for this once and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let the hands of them that contend with them be drawn backward. Let us pray right now, right now, right now, right now. Right now. No one can take. No one can take from you that which the Lord I've given you grace to acquire. God has given you grace to acquire. We turn the hand of the battle. We secure that which is yours. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. So shall it be.